Welcome, everyone. I'm Pam Stack, your host, and you're listening to Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I want to welcome everyone back to the show after I've been gone for a month relocating from Hurricane Irma. It's so good to be back, but especially because one of my favorite authors of all times, international best-selling author and award winner Jill Chalvis, is with me today. Jill has written, 500 books, and everybody knows who she is. She's funny, she's witty, and it shows in her books. But today we're going to talk about three very, very special books. First, let me welcome Jill Chalvis to the air. Hi, Jill. Welcome back to Authors on the Air.
Well, thanks for having me, and I'm glad you're safe and sound.
Thank you. So I know I kind of tease saying you've written 500 books, but you write about five books a year, don't you? Five or six books a year. I mean, you're very prolific.
Well, not anymore. That was when I was doing the category romances, which are much, much shorter. It seems like these days I'm just getting three out. Three in a novella.
You've gotten some really terrific books out this year. I would like to start off by talking to you about Chasing Christmas Eve, which is part of your Heartbreaker Bay series. I love this story. I love Heartbreaker Bay, but this story is so amazing. Where did this story come from? Where did Chasing Christmas Eve come from?
Well, it almost didn't happen. I had the first three books in the series of the Heartbreaker Bay in my head very, very clearly. And I also should stop here and say each of these books stand alone. You can pick up this book, Chasing Christmas Eve, without having read one of the first three. They all stand alone. However, he is the hero of this book is Spence, and he has been a minor character in the other books and has had walk-on roles, nothing big. But he just, every time I wrote one, two, and three, every time I would write, he would just kind of pop on the page for me. And my editor and I just started talking about him. He's a very different character than I usually write. He's a sexy genius, basically. That's how I've been describing him. He's my first billionaire sexy genius, slightly geeky, and very unlike any of the men I've ever written before. So I was kind of hesitant to write his story, but in the end, I couldn't not. So
he's a very interesting character. I think maybe this sums it up in a word. He decides he either can be really great at work or he can be really great at relationships, but never the twain shall meet. Does that sound right?
Life had taught him. Yes, life had taught him that you can only have one or the other, because he's an all-in sort of guy, and as the people in his family have been. So down the line, he could see his grandfather was the same as him, and he failed at every relationship he ever had, and so was his dad. And he just, that's what he believed. He could have love or he could have work, and work was his life. So he went that way.
And Colby, who is your heroine, is a really interesting character, too, because you have her as a best-selling young adult fantasy series writer, but she writes under a pen name. So people really don't know who she is. And she's got this load of responsibility on her shoulders, including twin brothers and a mom who really don't think for themselves.
They depend on her, yes.
For everything.
Yes, but she enabled that. I think she really enabled that. She likes to be needed, and so she set that world up for herself.
Boy, but when she rebelled against it, she really rebelled. So Spence is an interesting guy. He seems so honest and so forthright. There really isn't anything. He doesn't hide anything about himself.
No, and he's so sure that nothing could happen. So there's really no need for him to hide anything. He almost hides behind his honesty, I should say.
Which is interesting. You know, it's very interesting. And yet Colby, on the other hand, kind of has a lot of secrets to keep. She thinks.
Yeah, she has a pseudonym that she writes under. She writes fiction, which is all believe. Everything in her world has been created. but they really
so
are
she
at
runs
opposite
away
ends.
And bumps into Spence in a very interesting way. Will you talk about that scene? Because I love it, and I love the reactions to how they meet.
Well, Colby lives in New York, and she just, the responsibility just gets to her one day, and she goes, she packs a bag, and she goes to the airport, and her thinking was to get on the first flight to a warm, deserted island somewhere, somewhere that no one would be able to find her. It's just the wrong time of year for that, and the only flight out that she could get was to San Francisco, and she thinks, what the hell? She goes to San Francisco, a brand new city for herself, where no one will know who she is, and she can maybe find her muse again. Instead, she finds Spence, and her life takes a turn forever.
Well, she kind of finds him in a very unusual way, doesn't she?
Well, yes. He is walking a dog for a friend of his, a very large dog, who knocks Colby into the fountain of the Pacific Pier building where she's standing there thinking about making a wish. And so I guess that's kind of
thing.
a classic meet-cute,
yeah.
I guess you would say.
It really was. Tell me why you love this book so much, Jill, because I could tell you why I love it, but why do you love this book so much? What is it that makes this one of your favorites?
Well, I think for me, like I said, it was the hero. Spence is so different from anybody I've ever written, and that was new and interesting to me, and it was me stretching my wings a little bit and liking it a lot.
And you also have a novella coming up that is going to be available in a month maybe.
Yeah,
another.
So that's November 7th, and that's
right.
Another Heartbreaker Bay story. It's just a short Christmas novella, and it is, if you have been reading the Heartbreaker Bay, if you read Sweet Little Lies, that hero was Finn, and he runs the Irish pub in the building.
Right.
On the bottom floor with his brother, Sean. Holiday Wishes is Sean's story.
Ah, very good. That's a lot of fun. Now, you also also wrote a book this year that I fell in love with called Lost and Found Sisters. And it may be your kind of your entree into women's fiction, although I kind of figure all romance is women's fiction, but this is different. What is the difference between writing romance like the Heartbreaker Bay and women's fiction?
Well, first of all, Lost and Found Sisters is definitely my first bigger story, so I guess I would call it a hybrid women's fiction romance because there is romance in it. In fact, there's two romances in it, but it's also a bigger, deeper story. There's other relationships that are explored. So I guess that's the difference. In mass market romance, like my Heartbreaker Bay series, the romance is the central core of that story, of every story. And with Lost and Found Sisters, I think you can make a case for the sisters being the central story, although, like I said, there still are two romances. I think the story itself is about the sisters.
It is a heart-wrenching story. I wept. But ultimately, it was a very it was a great ending. But it has just touched a part of me so deeply. And there were so many twists and turns in here. But I have to tell you, one of my most favorite things is the quotes at the beginning of the chapters from the Mixed Up Files of Tilly Adams' journal. So
that's what came to me first, was Tilly's journal entries. That was the first part of that story that came to me. And I just had this vision
of
this
teenage
girl.
I would like to read one because these are so funny.
Go ahead.
Having plans sound like a good idea until you have to put on clothes and leave your house. You know, I days like that. So I totally understand that. You know, those are days when I have to check to make sure I haven't put my dress on backwards before I walk out the door. I love these quotes. Did you make up the quotes ahead of time?
Yeah, so a lot of them, not all of them, but many of them I had been writing down for a long time. This story was kind of simmering for a long time. And I had maybe 10 or 12 of them in my head before I started writing. I saw clearly my Tilly, this anguished teenage girl, and yet, you know, she's kind of a kick-ass character, if I can say that online. She just, life had beaten her down, but she wasn't down for the count. And so I tried to portray that with her journal entries by making them funny.
They were hysterical. Chapter 6's entry is, I wouldn't mind someone looking at me the way I look at pizza. You know, it starts every chapter off with anticipation for the reader. It's truly a masterpiece of a novel. I enjoyed this. It was very, very profound. And congratulations on that. You told me that you're going to be writing another book in this series.
Well,
I'm going to do
The Lost and Found Sisters. Yeah, so that I'm going to write a women's fiction every year. So there'll be one big book every year, probably in the summertime. So the next one I just finished, it's called Rainy Day Friends. And right now I think it's slated for June next summer. And it is set in the same town that Lost and Found Sisters is in Wildstone, which is like in the middle of California, in the middle of, it's on the coast, but it's mid California. It's kind of a ranching, winery town.
Mm-hmm.
And so the second one is all ready to go, and I'll be writing the third one soon.
Will we know the characters there in the second
one? You'll recognize Wildstone. You'll recognize the landmarks. I'm not sure I'm going to do connecting characters. I'm already doing that in the mass market, so I wanted to write standalone for people who don't like to read series.
Well, let's go back and talk about Heartbreaker Bay, because in Chasing Christmas Eve, while this is a standalone book, there are connected characters. When you write that many stories in a series like that, do you keep a writer's Bible so that you can connect all the people, or like a genealogy tree or something?
I keep a very detailed Bible, so to speak. I don't know how anybody would do it other than that. So I keep track of every character, everything about that character. I keep track of, you know, just about everything, every setting that happens, every down to the car someone drives, what color their eyes are, everything.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Well, you have to. Otherwise, you're going to get letters from readers.
You're going to get letters saying, hey, that's not what you said before. Right.
Yeah.
That's true. That's so funny. I never even considered that. Well, I think you and your friend Susan Mallory, who loves your books, obviously, write probably the best series romance, like you said, mass market romance there is.
Oh, thank you.
And you've probably been writing about the same amount of time, and you've probably written the same amount of books.
I think Susan started before me, and she's truly amazing. She also, like you said, writes amazing series.
Yeah. Yeah, and I want to live in one of those towns. I want to live in one of the towns that you write about or where she writes about, because everybody's nice and everybody's good-looking.
And there's good-looking men.
Know? Yes, I know. Have you ever wanted to try any other genre?
Well, I'm very happy in the contemporary world. I don't think I have the right mindset for historical. Once in a while, I put in a mystery or a suspense element into the contemporary just to amuse myself. So the next book in this Heartbreaker Bay series is the next full-length book. It's called About That Kiss, and it comes out in January. And if you've read Chasing Christmas Eve, you're aware of who Joe is. He works with Archer. And so he's the next hero. And in his story, About That Kiss, there is a mystery. Big mystery element to her story.
Interesting. I love reading your posts and I love reading your newsletter. And you seem not to take yourself too seriously. You're always joking around. Does that help you when you're writing contemporary?
Well, I guess if you're writing maybe funny contemporary, like I am doing, I think it helps to not take life too seriously and to find the funny in the mundane or in the even the traumatic moments you to lighten things up a little bit, and so that's what I do with the books.
Sure. How wonderful. Well, let me ask you a couple questions about you, because I know we have limited time today, and I don't want to overstep, because you promised that you're going to come back when the next book comes out.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
So what do you do for fun when you're not writing?
Well, I'm writing all the time, or so it seems like lately, but when we're not, when I'm not writing, I have three kids, take a lot of my time. I have rescue dogs. We do a lot of, I mean, I live in the woods, so we do a lot of hiking, a lot of off-roading, which is a lot of fun. I used to do a lot of skiing, but I had spine surgery a couple years ago and had to give that up. So that's a bummer.
Oh.
But we paddleboard in the summertime. We keep very busy here.
How fun, how fun. Are any of your children aspiring artists in any way? Do they have the gene?
No, it's funny. My dad was a rocket scientist for NASA and instrumental in the space shuttle program. And so my whole family has that brain. My kids all have that brain. They're all super, super smart. I have a mechanical engineer, and I have a biology teacher, and I have a business master. So, no, none of them have the writing gene. They all have the rocket scientist gene.
Wow, you're kind of an anomaly in your family, hey?
Yes, very much so.
Oh, that's funny. Who do you like to read when you have a chance to read?
You know, I hate to say, because always on the spot, I'll leave out a friend and feel terrible, but I really do read just about everything and everyone. I'm an insatiable reader, and not just in romance, although I love to read romance and I read a huge amount of it. I also like mysteries and I like autobiographies, and lately I've been watching a lot of TV and Netflix and Hulu and inhaling seasons of really great shows that give my muse some fuel, I guess.
I guess you would
need
have
to take some stuff in. Yeah.
Pardon me. Wow. What would we be surprised to learn about you?
Oh, boy. I think that a lot of people are surprised to find I truly am as I am on social media, a little bit silly, a little bit goofy, and a little bit I Love Lucy. I mean, those things are all very, very true. Everything I talk about is true.
I think that's great. And having met you, I know that. So that's terrific. Do a lot of your readers and fans write to you and say, oh, I have a romance book. Would you read it for me? Or would you give me advice? Do you hear that a lot?
I do hear that a lot. And the truth is, there's only one way to become a good, solid writer, and that is to write. And it's a lot of hard work and a lot of time. I mean, this is a 24/7 job, and people don't always want to hear the truth, but that's what it takes to get anywhere, is hard work and sitting your butt in a chair and writing.
So do writers have to be readers also?
I don't know. I mean, for myself, yes. I need to, like I said, fuel my brain as if, you know, that it, and not just with food. Like, I have to be inspired creatively. So I get that inspiration through beloved TV shows and other books. But I can't say how other authors do it.
It would seem to me, in order to know how to structure a story, you'd have to be a reader, just simply from the craft standpoint of it. Not necessarily.
Yes, and I think a lot of it's instinctual, but there is a lot of information out there on how to write a book, how to be technically accurate. You can get that. You can go to workshops, you can go to Romance Writers of America conferences, and you can learn all that. But you have to hone the craft, and there's no shortcut for that. You can't go read a book for that. You have to sit down and write, and over and over and over again.
Joe, one final question before I let you go. I know that you've been with various publishing houses and very successful at all of them, but despite the accolades that you bring in as a writer with awards and sales and so on, both from the business and the promotional aspect, you still have to market yourself, don't you?
I mean, that's a loaded question. I think in today's world, you do have to be out there doing social media and being seen and heard. And I have mixed feelings about that. I mean, I started blogging and Facebooking because this is a lonely, lonely job and you're alone almost all of the time. So I started Facebooking from a place where it's to find other people to talk to, and I would just tell them what was happening to my day. And I just got lucky that I fell into social media almost entirely by accident, because I'm talking in the same voice that I write. So I feel very lucky that way. So people can go to my Facebook and read my posts, and if they get a laugh, they're going to go to find my books and they're going to get the same tone.
Right.
But you know, not all authors can do that, because maybe they're writing mystery or historical, and you can't have that same tone in social media. So it's made more difficult, but it is kind of a necessary evil at this point, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. Jill Chalvis, international bestseller, award-winning author. I am thrilled to speak to you. Chasing Christmas Eve is out now. It is released. It is there. If you've read Jill's books, please go and leave a review, particularly on Amazon and Goodreads. The next book comes out in, when does Holiday Wishes come out?
November 7th.
November 7th.
And it's only 99 cents, so you can't go wrong.
You cannot go wrong. So is it up for pre-order by any chance?
Yes, it is.
Is it an ebook only or is it a paper? It's an ebook and print. Good. Are your books in audio?
Yes, all of them are in audio. They're all in digital. They're all in print. They're however you want them.
How wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me on my first show back. And
yes. And
I'm thrilled to have you here. I will send you the podcast link. Everybody, please go out and check Jill's books out. They are magnificent. Jill, thank you so much. And I wish you and
thank
your family
you
a lovely, lovely holiday season. You and I will be talking
right
again
back
soon.
At you. And we will talk
thank
soon.
You.
Take care.
Very
all
good.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye. And thank you for being with me today. I'll be back tonight with John Shepherd, who is a crime fiction writer who is up for an Anthony Award. Thanks a lot, friends. Talk to you soon.